Below him, the snow fell in a tumbled avalanche of ice and stones. The second time, he picked a more indirect route, going up and around the patch of snow, returning again to the path when he was safely beyond it. Walking slowly along an exposed flank of the mountain, it occurred to Ryan that this wouldn't be a good place to meet any kind of animal coming in the opposite direction. There was also the danger that Zemyanin might have planted guards after all. The encounters with the murderous sectroids had thrown his plans out of kilter. The need for sleep had been paramount, but now he had arrived here a little later than he'd intended to be. Dawn would break in less than an hour, and by then he'd need to be safely undercover, preferably close to the mines. Already he could detect the first pale glow in the eastern sky, and he was barely halfway around the perimeter of the bowl of rock. Taking greater risks, Ryan started to move faster. The snow was beginning to fall with more purpose, the flakes larger, the wind whipping them around with greater venom, making progress harder and even more dangerous. The only slight consolation was that the drop in visibility would also make it more difficult for any guards to spot him. Ryan wished he'd borrowed JB's beloved old fedora. The melting snow was soaking his hair, running down his neck, trickling under his shirt. The weather was deteriorating into blizzard conditions, with a serious risk of becoming a total whiteout. But Ryan Carter had no choice. To turn back would mean that Dawn would expose him on the winding trail, and it had been dangerous enough in fair weather. To stop would be to die. Ryan put his head down, set each foot carefully in front of the last, and pressed forward. The track had long vanished, and Ryan had to fumble onward. He leaned to his right to try to counter the fear of being sucked away into the abyss that beckoned on the other side. For the first time, the one-eyed warrior began to entertain the thought that he might die in this bleak, freezing wilderness. He concentrated all his senses on remembering what the trail had looked like, how far he might have gone, where the first of the dark openings had been. Normally, his spatial awareness was as good as anyone's, but the wind and the swirling blizzard were bewildering. For some time, he'd felt that the track had been moving slightly upward. From what he could remember, that could show that he was around the head of the Box Canyon and might be close to the first of the workings. The cliff to his right had been becoming sheerer, almost vertical in places. This meant the wind had nowhere to go, bouncing off, tugging at him, dashing the icy flakes into his face. Away to his left, the drop vanished into the whiteness. Ryan's ears caught a sudden slight change in the sounds around him. His right hand, feeling for support, found nothing. Ryan cupped his face, peering into a shapeless darkness. Cautiously, he took a step toward it, finding instant relief from the storm. From the blackness ahead of him, he heard a woman's voice.
"Get out, or I'll blast your head off!"
The large dormitory, hewn from the living rock, was empty. All the slaves were out laboring deep in the sulfur mines, and the rows of bunk beds were deserted. Two guards shuffled nervously until Zemyanin turned and stared at them.
"Your feet are uncomfortable as a result of the seasonal chill."
They both stared at the ground, knowing that silence was often the best and safest reply to their unpredictable leader. Zemyanin looked at the two stiff corpses. One lay flat on its back, milky eyes fixed beyond the moist stone of the rough ceiling. The blackened gash at his groin was clotted with blood, showing how he'd met his end. The other was hunched up, hands frozen in death, pressed against the face. Dark blood had seeped between his fingers from his ruined eye.
"A good killing, my brothers."
"We wouldn't have bothered you, Major Commissar, seeing as how there's often dead meat in here in the mornings."
"You exercised your duty with a commendable skill. Whosoever performed these killings did them with unusual capability."
"You mean we done good?"
"You done very good. And you say there was no clue as to the identity of the slayer?"
The Secman glanced at each other. It was the shorter one, Secman Benson, who replied.
"No, Major Commissar. No clue. No trail of blood. No weapon."
Zemyanin leaned over the second corpse, moving the frozen hand from the face.
"A knife with a slender blade, would you not say, Benson? Unusual, the delicacy with which the knife was used."
Something bothered him. He took off his cap and rubbed his gloved hand over his bald pate. There was some lost half-memory plaguing him. Not lost, just mislaid. It would come back to him.
Could it have been one of the new intake of Liberating Serfs?
Maybe.
I think I should perhaps parade them and then see if any... What is it?
One of his mine foremen had come into the dormitory.
There's trouble in number 6 shaft, Major Commissar.
It crossed Zemyanyan's mind that it hadn't been such a great idea to bring his lengthy official title with him into the Deathlands. Perhaps he should shorten it to just Major.
Trouble?
Ladder broke and took part of the hoist with it. Knocked a barrel of nails down the side. The other end fastened to the windlass. Barrel of nails was heavier than the windlass, so it went down and the windlass went up.
Zemyanyan turned away from the bodies and the Sekhmen. The nagging worry about the identity of the killer disappeared under the torrent of words from the bearded foreman.
Barrel hit the bottom and broke, spilling the nails out. Now the windlass is heavier than the barrel, so it goes down and the empty barrel comes up. The man grabs it and swings off, makes the barrel heavier again. So the windlass is going up, but on the way it hits the man hanging on the barrel and knocks him clean off it. The barrel's lighter now and, well...
Enough! I have got the picture.
He swung out of the door toward the mine. Ryan stood his ground.
You want me to go out into that storm?
Unless you want to be cut in half, mister.
If I go out there, I get to die in the snow. Might as well stay here. I won't harm you.
Don't let him in, Kate. Please don't.
There's already 2 of us here, mister. One sick and the other scared.
Ryan took a couple more steps inside the cavern, straining his eyes to try to see who else was in there. But it was so dark he couldn't make anyone out. He could see the smoldering remains of a fire much farther in, but that was all.
I'll chill you.
What with?
What?
Tell me what kind of blaster you got there.
You'll find out, you shit-eating sec bastard!
You think I'm a sec man, lady?
Don't tell nothing to him.
I've been called some stoop names in my time, but never a sec man.
Don't try to talk your way in here. Just get out, will you?
No.
No?
Ryan was now convinced that the woman didn't have a blaster at all. If she'd been carrying one, then she'd have used it by now.
I'm coming in now. I see a fire, and I'm freezing my ass off out here. If you're gonna pull the trigger with what you got, then you better do it right now.
I got a knife!
Right.
And I got a knife too, mister.
Look, the 2 of you. Standing where I am, you can see me. You can see I got a blaster, and you don't. I can just cut you both down where you are. Think about it.
How do I know you aren't one of the Silver Circle men?
The what?
You know!
Ryan remembered the caps he and Jack had found.
The bald man with the pucked face and mustache. You still got the mustache?
See, Kate? He knows Zim!
Kate, I met a man called Grigory Zemyanyan way back. Now, I think he's lifted my son to work for him in those mines. I came to get him back, if I can do it.
And kill Zim?
If I have to. He's not an easy man to take out, but I can sure try. That is, if I don't freeze to death first.
Ryan leaned back, his coat open, enjoying the feel of the flames on his cheeks. The fire was set far enough back into what he'd learned were ancient pre-dark mine workings to make it impossible for it to be seen by any watchers in the bottom of the valley. He looked across at his 2 new companions. Kate Webb was 17 years old, as skinny as whipcord, with dark hair hacked off short. Her only weapon was a short knife made from poor, soft metal, barely able to keep an edge. Her grandfather, Cody, was somewhere around the 70 mark. He wasn't sure about just where. He had no weapon at all. Both of them wore a ragged assortment of patched and torn furs. The girl had told Ryan their story, with occasional interruptions from Cody. They'd been trawled in from New England about 8 months ago. Neither of them was sure about the precise passage of time. Brought in through a gateway, with a number of other people from their small rural ville. It occurred to Ryan at that point that Zemyanyan must also have stumbled upon the significance of the last destination control on the Matrans unit to be able to go out and back with such facility. The consequent thought was that if any of the Ruskies' men used the nearby gateway before Ryan could spring Dean and get away, then the setting would probably be altered. Getting home again to New Mexico would be almost impossible. Along with about 200 slave workers, Kate and Cody had been put to labor in the depths of the sulfur mines.
Are there many guards?
Thicker than jiggers on a dead dog.
The pair also seemed unsure about how many workers and sec men were around the mining